We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mully and Hall, live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
As you mentioned, he's a unique player, all pro, pro bowler, instinctive, like especially in short spaces, and you know, us not running past 10 yards, that fell right into his hand, I feel like. It's challenging, but I mean, you just got to work with what you're getting. Again, I don't control the plays that are called. I don't control anything but just going out there and doing my job. And, you know, I just do it the best that I know how, fast.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty ugly.
Welcome to town, Marquise Goodwin.
Yeah, that was Marquise Goodwin talking about, I mean, dare we say, questioning the game plan? I just do it fast. He's the speed guy, right? And listen, yeah. Let's be honest about it. Wide receivers are a type, right? Okay. Wide receivers tend to be brash. They tend to be outspoken. They tend to be guys that just give me the damn ball. They name their books. I mean, it is a it's an interesting dynamic
it
to
is.
Have a guy who's a speed
it's
guy.
It's a type.
For a team that doesn't throw the ball more than 10 yards.
Well, he did. Yeah, speed is a good way to describe him. He got himself in trouble in a hurry. And I think that's pretty telling. The frustration is obvious.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think every Bears fan can relate to that. And again, it's one thing for you and I to sit here and to question the Bears offense and how well it can execute the deep passing game and how they need to take shots down the field. It's another to hear a Bears player actually give voice to that. And I think that it shows you just how obvious it was. And can you get away with that if you're a new veteran on a team? Is this something that, okay, Matt Nagy, based on his reaction time, may talk to Marquise Goodwin about this on Friday, all right?
Yeah.
But does he have to talk to him at all about something like this?
I mean, if I'm Matt Nagy and I'm driving into work and I hear that, I believe I'm spitting coffee onto the front window. That's a splash take if ever there was one. I think that's got to rile you a little bit if you're the play caller.
Doesn't it?
I would imagine you got to tell the guy, hey, you understand what we're doing, right? Do
yeah.
you understand what our game plan? I would be – here's the thing. Like, we've talked about this before. Having read the Nick Foles biography, I know that Matt Nagy is desperate to, like, lend his car to people. He's just that kind of person.
Wants to be
He's
liked.
A nice guy.
Wants to be popular.
And I
you can't be that if you're a head coach, Mully.
You can't be. I mean, you got to say something to the guy. You got to tell the guy, hey.
If this is Allen Robinson speaking out on the offensive issues and not getting the ball enough or not throwing the ball down the field or anything that he wants to say, frankly, he has earned the right to say it.
Right.
If you're Marquise Goodwin, who I have a lot of respect for, as you point out, he's an Olympic sprinter. He's a proud veteran. He's a guy that has been through a lot personally.
Is he a jumper, a triple jump, yeah, whatever he is?
None of it matters.
Okay.
None of it matters.
Yep.
In the football hierarchy on the Chicago Bears, you have not earned the right to say what could be construed as direct criticism of the game plan and the play caller, who happens to be your head coach. No, you don't have any tolerance for that if you're Matt Nagy. You cannot let this get away from you before you are even into week two. So I think that if I'm Matt Nagy, I would have hoped that he would have been aware of this as soon as people in the general public were aware of this. Come on, he said this to the Chicago Bears media yesterday during a Zoom conference. Are you telling me if Matt Nagy hasn't addressed this already? Maybe he hasn't because he is Mr. Affable.
He's a long jumper.
But this is not good.
His specialty is the long jump, and he's kind of maybe taking a little bit of a long jump here,
this
right?
This is a quantum leap into controversy, yes. I think that's fair to say.
I think he's right. I think there's nothing wrong.
That doesn't matter.
And I think that that the fact that he's correct is irrelevant because the play caller is the one who's always correct, right?
Did you hear Akeem Hicks talk about the defense yesterday? Akeem Hicks talking about, you know, his contract situation, wanting to retire a Bear, but he was also asked about the defense of being disappointing. He didn't throw anybody under the bus. He did not necessarily sound he knows better. He's earned the respect. When he speaks, people listen. Marquise Goodwin just hasn't been here long enough to have that kind of gravitas. He just hasn't.
No, I agree with that. But I mean, he said he was surprised. He didn't say, boy, I'm surprised that coordinator doesn't know how to call a defense. I mean, I'm just saying he said he was surprised they didn't play well. And the fact that they didn't play well on the back end, frankly. That was the surprise because I think we knew the corners were a problem. I don't think we thought the safeties were a problem, and the safeties are a problem. So that's going to be something you got to live with and deal with. You can just say I'm surprised without naming names.
Well, yeah.
This is more – that's more of a I mean, again, just think about Matt Nagy with his beloved sheet that he's run through the
– B-U.
Oh, my.
Yeah. B-U.
No, and you know what it says on that sheet? It's like instead of B-U, he's replaced it with don't punt.
Yeah, right.
A friend of mine sent me a photo of him on the sideline and written in blue over the thing was don't punt. I laughed.
So when
loud.
You take as much pride in your play calling prowess as Matt Nagy clearly does, and then you hear somebody who's been here for 5 minutes say that, you know, I don't control the plays that are called. I don't control anything but just going out and doing my job. I think it's going to rub you the wrong way.
Yeah.
I don't think we're inventing something here. I don't think we're manufacturing drama or controversy. I'm just saying that from the football family perspective, if you hear this from somebody who is in your family group dynamic, you're going to say something to that person or at least address it in a way that makes it clear that maybe you should just watch it a little bit closer.
It's astounding. I don't control the plays that are called. I mean, it's unbelievable to hear. I don't control the plays that are called. I don't control anything but just going out there and doing my job. Well, it seems like you're interested in wrestling control.
I think it shows a lack of understanding about what the problem is.
Right.
The problem isn't necessarily the reluctance to calling deep passing plays or to do that within your offense or within the scheme. It's the fact that you're down to your fourth choice at offensive left tackle, and you have to be – you have to be conscious of that and how that limits you. And the Bears, you know, we can criticize Matt Nagy all we want, and we will do, you know, our duty there. But I think he's also very limited in how ambitious he can be offensively.
Marquise Goodwin is he's a good player, but there's a reason that he's on whatever it is, his if you count two different stints with San Francisco, then this would be his fifth team, right? So I don't know that you want to be kind of opening the season by questioning the play caller when the play caller is the head coach.
It's not why you're here.
The head coach seems awful protective of his play calling duties. In fact, he came back to it after actually separating himself from that. So I don't know. I mean, you know, when a guy is, as you say, when you have like a certain amount of gravitas, you're allowed to talk. Do something first. Do something. Don't, you know, and it's weird because I think they put him out there because they thought, oh, here, this guy's a good talker. He's a veteran guy. He'll know what to say.
He'll know what to say.
And he
kinda, he'll know what to say because, you know, like, we're in a tough spot here.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to go out necessarily and discuss scoring 14 points in an offense that looked as limited as everybody expected it to look against the number one defense in the league last year. it's a difficult spot. So, you know, but it wasn't great. And I think when you heard, I felt like you heard a pretty good contrast yesterday. Marquise Goodwin, who I think said what you made you sort of cringe if you're Matt Nagy. And then I think in contrast, you heard Tayshaun Gibson actually take accountability for that big mistake. And what did he call it? A brain fart by him and Eddie Jackson.
Yeah,
not touching, you know, the receiver at the 12-yard line, and how that can't be acceptable. And he understood that, and he took responsibility for that mistake.
And now we got people jumping on me for saying that Nagy takes pride in his play calling. I guess that's the wrong thing to say. Why else would he want it back?
What's wrong about that?
Yeah,
that's,
I guess that's not. You know, he shouldn't be proud of how bad the offense is. This is the general's consensus. Okay. But he is, and he views himself through the lens of offensive coordinator. He sees himself as the play caller, and that is why when he surrendered it after the six-game losing streak, or in the midst of the six-game losing streak, I think it was five games into the losing streak a year ago that he surrendered play calling, and then eventually the schedule changed and the play calling got better. Let's be honest, it was a combination of factors. But he has quietly resumed that duty because that's how he views himself. He sees himself as a guy who is hired because of his offensive genius, and he wants to prove his geniusness.
It was really odd, though, because of what the realities are with the Bears. I mean, when Matt Nagy did this back in April, or whenever it was, I believe it was after they had signed Andy Dalton, and Andy Dalton and Bill Lazor have had a history of working together, and you would have thought that would have lent itself to an opportunity to see how they could do again, right? You know, can they duplicate the success they had in Cincinnati and Chicago? As limited as it may have been or whatever, but Andy Dalton did play at a fairly high level with Bill Lazor calling the plays as the offensive coordinator for the Bengals. That's not the case. It's not the case. We'll see how long it lasts. I wonder how much we'll pay attention to the play calling once Justin Fields becomes the quarterback, which is a matter of when, not if, because I feel like at that point, as I've written and we've talked about, your scheme suddenly becomes less relevant. Everything is about kind of forgetting the confines of all the things that are on your play sheet. And not that you have to, you know, it doesn't matter what play you call. It just, I think you have to be a little bit less rigid in your sequencing, in your devotion to getting certain things called to set up other plays. You want to have a lot more freedom if you have a rookie quarterback as athletic as Justin Fields is, which I think is maybe contrary to what it might typically be with it when you have a rookie young quarterback.
I agree with you completely. I just wonder how that's going to go.
Not well, I think, based on what our history is with Matt Nagy and seeing how reluctant he is to kind of abandon
But don't you feel that Nagy, when he spoke after the draft, made it clear that Justin Fields was a Matt Nagy pick? That Matt Nagy talked about Ryan Day telling him he was at Ohio State the year before the draft, and Ryan Day telling him that this guy is a franchise player, and that's before the Bears even before he even came out or they drafted him,
and he kept it
in the back of his mind. Don't you think that he had to be if they're looking at moving up in the draft, are they moving up because they think they can get Mac Jones, or are they moving up because, oh my God, look at Justin Fields, he can be Mahomes?
I'll say this: my reaction at the time is the same as it is now. You could be the most defensive-minded football coach, head coach in the National Football League. You could be a special teams coordinator turned head coach like John Harbaugh. You could be an offensive guru. You consider yourself like Matt Nagy does. If you see Justin Fields falling into your lap with the 11th pick and entering your building for the first time, you're going to love him regardless of what you thought of. I mean, this is a guy who has universal appeal to football coaches of all types. He just does. There's not a coach who could look at Justin Fields' skill set and not be excited and not be, you know, enthusiastic about finding ways to utilize those talents. So if Matt Nagy wants to say, yeah, you know, I this is my guy because I knew he was special and his college coach told me so, you think? Everybody watches Justin Fields can see that. everybody.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not arguing that. I'm a big fan. I think he's going to be a really good player. I think what in your mind, what you're setting up is this idea that and I told you, Olin keeps saying this, and I think it's a brilliant thing to say, that Matt Nagy sees the world as a pocket passer. That's how he sees the game. I'm not sure Justin Fields sees it that way.
I agree with that, and I don't want to make this comparison in terms of Justin Fields to Michael Jordan, but remember the old Michael Jordan story. Who was the only coach able to hold Michael Jordan to 20 points a game?
Dean Smith.
Yeah. Why? Because within the confines of that offense and within everybody else on your team, it was a very structured environment.
I thought we had decided that Deshaun Watson was actually Michael Jordan.
Okay, Dabo.
Don't hang that on Mike.
Okay.
Leave him alone, exactly. For God's sake. Wow. People are mean. That is just awful stuff. All right, we've got to get to a break. We're going to bring in Michael Lombardi. We can find out from Michael. You know, he had some really interesting things to say last week, and he said that it would be negligent of the Bears not to play Justin Fields. We saw him for 5 plays. Was it negligent to not give him a series?
Good question. Also want to know from the executive point of view, what is the viewpoint of 31-year-old productive defensive lineman like Akeem Hicks? So when he envisions finishing his career with the Bears, how realistic is that in the world of NFL executives?
We'll talk to Michael next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. Michael Lombardi.
The mandate has to be, look, until we fix our quarterback position, we're never going to be able to challenge these teams to win because the rules are set up against the monsters of the Midway. We can't dominate games with defense any longer.
Odyssey Sports NFL Insider.
You're supposed to solve all the problems. That's why you're making $6 million a year. You think they're giving you $6 million because they need you to look at your play sheet? Like, seriously, you're not some kid in a basement in Des Moines playing Madden.
Looking at the league from a front office perspective.
If you're Ryan Pace, the general manager of the Bears, you can't possibly watch game highlights. You can't go home on Sunday night, win, lose, or draw, and turn on your TV and watch this guy. You just can't do it. You have to say to your wife, look, we're moving to Siberia. We're just going to start hunting the Siberian tigers. I mean, because we can't watch this.
Michael Lombardi, every Wednesday with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score. The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Joining the show is Odyssey NFL Insider Michael Lombardi. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. Today, you can also hear Michael on the GM Shuffle, his weekly podcast available on the Odyssey app. And he joins us now on the guest hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Michael, good morning. How are you?
I am great. Thank you. How are you guys? Good morning.
Well, we're celebrating the fact that the Bears are in the NFC North, and as such, they're in first place. So it's a restart of the season with the Bengals coming in. We're just going to take that game now. It's Wednesday, so we take that horrible, wretched Rams result, and we put that in the rearview mirror, right? Is that basically what you do?
Well, I mean, you have to be honest with yourself. I mean, I think the biggest concern that I had going into the Bears season, everybody focused on quarterbacks. I kept saying, are they any good on defense? I mean, they might be the most overrated defense in the league. Everybody thinks they're good on defense, but are they? I think that's the fundamental question Bears fans have to ask. I mean, before you unravel the quarterback mystery, are they good enough to win defensively? And I think what you have to do as an organization is, before the season starts, and certainly after the first game, to sit down and say, how do we play a game to win the game? Like, what do we have to do to highlight our strengths? What are our strengths? And then formulate a game plan around that. And we just can't go out and play. I mean, they're just not as good defensively. Khalil Mack's not the same player he was when he came to Chicago. You know, they don't have the same pass rush that they did. They can't control the game with the defensive front. I mean, you give up 34 points in 24 minutes. I mean, you know, what are we talking about here? So I think that's really where you have to focus.
So if that focus leads you to the point where you feel like you ran the ball pretty well, Michael, against a Rams defense that, you know, is very solid, but they were tempting you to run the ball. They wanted you to run the ball, and the Bears did effectively. Do you carry that over to now week two, and do you have to be that kind of a team because your defensive issues, because you want to play keep away maybe, and because you have had success running the football?
Well, I think the whole approach going into the game was what Matt Nagy wanted to do was, like a lot of West Coast coaches, he wanted completions, right? He wanted to stay ahead of the chains, stay ahead of the down and distance and convert third downs and be in short third downs. And they did that, you know, and he had 71% completions in the game. But as long as play was 19 yards, you know, and so you've got to find a way to make plays down the field. You're not going to score enough points. And you've got to be able to control the football. But controlling the ball, time of possession, is meaningless if you don't score. As example, you know, the Rams only had the ball for 24 minutes. They put 34 points up. You know, they made two big plays down the field. They could have made more. But I think what Nagy's got to be able to do is find some balance. He's got to be able to – look, not every week are you going to run the ball. The Rams basically wanted them to run. Mm-hmm. They wanted them to run. The Rams' attitude was, look, if you don't throw the ball over our head, we'll put you in 12-play drives, and you're going to mess something up at some point, and we'll hold you to a field goal, and you won't be able to keep up with us. I think that's always – it's always cause and effect, you know. Your run game never always carries over, because if they play a 7-man front, you should run the ball. If they play an 8-man front, it's harder.
You know, I would imagine, Michael, after watching that game, that defenses are going to load up against them because they didn't go down the field, because you wonder if they can, because they don't really give you any play fakes that you bite on. I mean, it just seems like the solution to playing the Bears right now would be load the box, stop the run, and then what?
Yeah, I mean, look, load the box, stop the run, get him in the red zone, see if we can make Andy make a mistake in the red zone. Don't let him run the ball in, you know, make him execute. And I think that, you know, their execution is, and you know, look, it was really good. I mean, you know, one of the stats that I look at after every game is rushes and completions, not because I think it determines who wins the game. I think it determines who's executing really effectively. And the Bears were, you know, they were plus +9 in turnover and rushes and completions, but they couldn't score any points. They couldn't make any plays. At some point, you're going to have to dial. Now, he was scared to death to have the quarterback hold the ball, and wouldn't you be? I mean, you know, like we said this on the show last week. I mean, anybody who thought Jason Peters wasn't going to get hurt wasn't paying attention to the National Football League the past 3 years. I mean, Jason Peters is a great kid, wonderful player, was a great player, but he's not going to be – when you sign him and you think you've solved your left tackle problems, you're really making a huge mistake, because it looks good on a depth chart. He's never going to stay healthy. And I think when he loses his two tackles, he doesn't want to hold the football, and that's a problem.
Michael, last week you called it negligent if the Bears didn't go to Justin Fields or try to use him in some situations. They did that, even though he didn't take consecutive snaps, how illogical that was. But what is the next logical step in terms of his usage?
I mean, I think they got to let him grow. I mean, look, it's an offense screaming for big plays. It's an offense screaming for somebody who can move around the pocket. I mean, the reason they had 71% completions is because there was a lot of easy throws for Andy Dalton to make. It was against the zone coverage, and it was pitch and catch. It was basically 7-on-7. And so I think what they have to do is find a way to make some big plays, explosive plays. And you could do that with Justin Fields' feet. I mean, look, you know, these rookie quarterbacks have got to play. I just said this from the beginning.
the Bears are not a Super Bowl contending team. They're not. I mean, for the longer they keep the reps away, what's the difference between the Bears, the Jaguars, the Patriots? You know, I mean, the Jets. I mean, why not put them in the game? Why not put them in the game? I mean, look, I know it's old school that you have to let the rookie quarterbacks wait a year because that's what we did in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes. But you had Alex Smith. I mean, like, I don't see them rushing to play Trey Lance. I know they're trying to rush to play Trey Lance because they want to dispute this media perception that Trey Lance was always their guy, even though Mac Jones was. So there's a sense in San Francisco to rush him. But Garoppolo is a good player. Like, what are we doing? I mean, New England made it clear. They went with Mac Jones. Mac Jones might be the best of all of them. You know, he played the best of any rookie on the opening weekend. Why not get him in the game?
When you look at the NFC North, and again, everybody lost, is this year's answer to last year's NFC East? I mean, if Green Bay's no good, and they look no damn good, and the quarterback looked beaten after the game, does that mean this thing's wide open? Does that change anything you're doing or rushing the quarterback into the game, whatever it is?
No, I don't. I mean, look, I thought Green Bay was horrible.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, they're 1-for-10 on third down. You know, I thought that Matt LaFleur didn't have his team ready to play. I'm not ready to give up on them yet. But I do think that you have to focus on your own team. You have to focus on where we are. And we've got to get better on defense. There's no denying that. We've got to get our best players to play at a higher level. And we've got to stop people, you know. And we can't give up 34 points in 24 minutes. And so until they fix some of these problems, it's hard to really think about going to the playoffs. Like, the Bears should just focus on what is it going to take to beat Cincinnati. Cincinnati, you know, they had a great win, you know, but Burrow got hit 6-5 times. They didn't handle 3 or 4 blitzes. The same blitz beat them 3 or 4 times in the tape. And so you got to be able to pressure Burrow. You got to keep them from making big plays and get your defense back on track.
And, Michael, in the middle of that Bears defense remains Akeem Hicks. He broke his silence yesterday. He talked about wanting to retire a Bear. He's making $10 million this year in the final year of his deal. What is the perception, when you're an executive and you're looking at a guy, a 31-year-old defensive lineman, who is as good as Akeem Hicks is and has been, what is the thought process in terms of extending him and the pros and cons of doing such a thing?
Well, I mean, I love Akeem Hicks. He's one of my favorite players. I mean, we traded for him when I was in New England, and I can honestly tell you the day we made that trade, I was ecstatic. I mean, we gave Michael Hooman up a tight end for him, and I thought that he's exactly what we needed on a championship-level team. We didn't win the Super Bowl that year. We should have, but we didn't. You know, we got beat in Denver on a tough game in Denver, and Denver went on to win the Super Bowl that year. But I think – you know, to me, I think Hicks can still impact the game, especially on passing downs, where he just takes those guards and walks them right back in there. So I would structure a contract to where I was going to be able to give him what he needed to make in terms of structure, but also play time, you know, have him a chance to go above and beyond. I just think he's a unique player. And when you get an inside rusher like that, that can push the pocket back, he affects the game way more than those guys that run around the corner. Because the guys that run around the corner, they go past the quarterback half the time. Hicks gets in front of the quarterback, which causes the most trouble.
Michael, they went into that game and they had two big positional issues. Obviously, they were challenged at left tackle and they lost two left tackles. And they had issues at the cornerback position. They had a surprise nickel and they were beaten by a couple of deep plays, one of which neither of their veteran safeties touched a guy when he went down at the 12. Who knows how the game changes if they don't score a touchdown there, but he got back up and he ran into the end zone, and it was just appalling that something like that could happen. But you knew going in, problems at corner, problems at left tackle. Is it the case in the NFL where if you have an issue, it's always exposed? How do you solve that?
Well, I mean, you got to know what it is beforehand, right? I mean, you got to know that. Look, you got to know that left tackle is going to be a problem all year for the Bears. I mean, you know, it just is, and you're going to have to keep a tight end chip. Make sure you work around it. It's one of the hardest injuries to overcome in all of football. The Packers lost the conference championship game because Bakhtiari didn't play. I mean, the Chiefs lost the Super Bowl because Eric Fisher didn't play. I mean, it's hard to do it. If you want to insist on getting 5 in a route and you want to, you know, do all the West Coast things and, you know, look at your play sheet and do all that stuff, and you don't care about your left tackle, you're going to get your quarterback killed. So you're going to have to set up a game plan around protection, starting with, okay, we got to block this guy. We got to take this guy out of the game. I thought Cincinnati's front played really well against Minnesota. Minnesota couldn't run the football. They did a good job in that, and they pressured them. So, you know, the Bears are going to have to make sure they handle that front up, because there's no answer at left tackle. They don't have one, and it's very challenging. And then at the corner position, you knew it all along, you know, and you've got to be really careful, and you're going to have to use your corners to double guys. I mean, you've got to take guys out of the game, and you're going to have to play it so that you can, okay, this is where they like to throw the ball down the field. We're doubling this guy. You leave those guys on an island, they're going to find them.
Michael, we heard from Matt Nagy on Monday saying he did not talk to Eddie Jackson, Tayshaun Gibson after both safeties failed to touch the receiver at the 12-yard line who went in to score. And we talked about how that could be with the four-hour flight home and why he waited so long. And today we're hearing from Marquise Goodwin, who's questioning the play calling publicly. It sounds like a new player kind of challenging, saying things that you kind of surprising to hear from a new player. Is it too early for leadership concerns at Hallis Hall? Do you think that this is a season that – does Matt Nagy need to kind of reassert control over things there?
Well, why is anybody surprised he didn't say anything? I mean, he's too busy looking at his play sheet. I mean, seriously, he's an offensive coordinator, you know? I mean, like, seriously, like, that's what I keep complaining about. When I come on this radio show, I talk about it, that he's looking like he's playing Madden. I mean, that's another example of it. I mean, like, seriously, you're the head coach of the team. Your two guys don't even tag the guy off, and you don't even go over to him and talk to him or address it. You know, like it's called leadership. Like, you only are going to get what you demand. You know, you're either coaching it or allowing it to happen. You know, and you can't just be the offensive play caller. You got to be the structure of the game, the chief figure out officer. And if you're not willing to have confrontation with the players are going to walk all over you. They're going to walk all over you, and you've got to be able to demand. That's why the NFL head coaching position is as much about leadership as it is about play calling. Mike Tomlin leads. You think Mike Tomlin wouldn't have walked over and said something to those two cats? Huh? Think about it. I mean, answer your question that way. Instead, you know, would Bill Belichick have said nothing to the guy? Of course not. Would Bill Parcells have said, oh, thank you. No worries. I got it. I'm going to look at my play sheet. Come on. Like, that's just not how you operate. That's not leadership. Leadership is demanding. Like, hey, guys, I mean, you say, well, they knew they should have tagged. No, they didn't. They didn't touch him.
And you know, I think I go back to this end of the year news conference they had where they kept everyone because of the great way that they all work together. They kept everyone because of the chemistry in the locker room, and they said they bragged about coming back from a 6-game losing streak. And I thought if you lost 3 in a row, someone had to be fired. But they thought it was good they made the playoffs despite losing 6 in a row. And they actually said that the chemistry in their locker room was the envy of other teams, that people were looking at them. And then none of those guys showed up for the voluntary portion of minicamp. I just think that they're misleading themselves about the character of the group they have or about the leadership that they have.
I think they've been misleading themselves forever. I mean, they've misled themselves about MVP Mitch. I mean, like, this has been going on at Hallis Hall. I wrote about it in the Daily Coach, a newsletter that I write with Coach George Raveling, the former head basketball coach at Iowa, Washington State, and USC. And they were so proud about their collaborative effort. You know, like, collaborative efforts don't work in the NFL. The NFL is a paramilitary organization. It starts from the top down. Somebody's got to be in demand. Like, there's no collaboration. This isn't the Supremes. We're all going to sing on the song here. Like, we all, you know, somebody's got to set the course. Somebody's got to be demanding. Oh, and we put the video up there, and all they talked about was collaboration, collaboration, collaboration. What's that gotten us? I mean, what is it getting us? It's getting us that no one's in charge. I say this all the time. They've never dedicated a monument to a committee. Never. They've never dedicated a monument to a committee. If you want to have a committee, look, I'll take input. Belichick takes input. People, we all take input. But if somebody's got to stand in front of the team and make a decision and know what's the right thing to do. I mean, you got too many non-football people trying to make decisions in Hallis Hall. This is what you're going to end up getting. You're going to end up getting non-football, but everybody's happy. You know, Bill Walsh used to say this all the time. When the assistant coaches are happy, we got a bad team. You know, because you got a demand from people.
Right. Great stuff, Michael. Really appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, guys. Talk next week.
Great stuff.
That's Michael Lombardi.
Strong
and,
stuff.
He's the Odyssey NFL Insider, Michael Lombardi. Insider Calls presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real, proven analytics. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. You can also hear Michael on the GM Shuffle, his weekly podcast available on the Odyssey app.
We're going to get to our guy Joe Ostrowski when we come back. But think about this as we kind of get back to this leadership issue. Who's the strongest leader? Who's the strongest personality in the Bears organization? Who's the guy that's going to go to Marquise Goodwin today, whether it's in the locker room or on when he arrives at work, and say, you know what? You spoke out of turn. We can't have that. We can't tolerate that enough. Who's that guy?
Juan Castillo?
I don't know. Who's their Olin Krutz?
I was just making a joke.
Who's that guy?
I can't wait to ask Olin that question when we get to him. But we've got Joe O next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Money, 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 money.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Oh, you know what that music means. It's time to bring in our guy. Joe Ostrowski joins us on the guest hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Joseph, good morning. How are you, sir?
Oh, terrific. We're into it now. The rhythm of the football season. It's a beautiful thing. Another game. Week two starts tomorrow. It's terrible NFC East football, but I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Hey, Joe, you know, I saw that the opening line for the Bears game was like 3 and then immediately jumped it. And when I say jump, it leaped backward. It didn't really long jump like Marquise Goodwin. It went the wrong way, and it's 2.5 now, right? So what does that say?
Yeah, there are some places that are popping 2.5, and it looked like it was heading this way because a lot of Bengals money was coming in. But if we look before the games played on Sunday, it was actually 3.5. So that's quite the reaction when you go to the key number of 3, and then the Cincinnati support makes it go all the way down to 2.5. So, some are impressed with the Bengals coming off their fresh victory against the Vikings, and not so much with the Bears. I thought the Bears hung tough for – this is probably going to – we're going to look at this at the end of the season and say that the Rams are a top 5 team. Mm. But, yeah, there were some brutal mistakes. Myself, I wasn't – the Vikings might be a train wreck, and that's something we need to be careful with when we overreact to week number 1. Was it more about the winner or more about the loser? We're going to find out about these two teams more on Sunday.
Yeah, but the Bears, they got 3 points when they landed at O'Hare, and that's the one thing. Yeah. So there's when you're playing at home, there's such a lack of confidence. It was not an impressive showing, Joe. But you know what? Week 1 was full of surprises, and I think that it was historically – successful in terms of when you look at, I think the record was the 9 underdogs pulled off upsets. And that's, what does that say to you, and how does it influence or inform your decisions when you're betting in week 2?
These were the quotes that were making the rounds from Vegas odds makers over the weekend. I couldn't have asked for a better start to the season. Saturday was the best Saturday any of us have ever seen. Sunday may have actually been better because of all those underdogs winning outright. So what it does is all the teasers and the parlays that people had with the Rams tied to Sunday night, it didn't matter because so many dogs knocked those parlays out. 12-4 underdogs were against the spread. That is the best underdogs have done in week 1 in the Super Bowl era. What it told me, David, was the road teams. So that was a big narrative coming into the season. Okay, we're back to stadiums, crowds. We're going to see the impact right away. No, it's been trending the opposite way now for a few years. Road teams are playing better than we've ever seen in the past. We saw 5 teams on the road that were underdogs that won outright: Miami and Foxborough. Pittsburgh took out Josh Allen. Philadelphia winning in Atlanta. Arizona steamrolled Tennessee, and the Chargers over the football team. So that's something to keep an eye on. If you're thinking about a road team, you like a road team, but you're just concerned about that crowd, I wouldn't hesitate right now because it's not the impact it once was.
I love that you dropped the Washington from the football team. This segment with Joe Ostrowski is brought to you by PointsBet. I love that. And Joe, you know, there are always different prop bets. I don't know if we have a prop bet as to whether or not the Bears will complete a pass over 10 yards. What kind of things are you looking at in this game?
There were some that were hitting the board last night, and I found it amusing that you see all the running backs, wide receivers. Oh, there's the Joe Burrow props. Nothing on Bears quarterbacks. Nothing. I guess they're waiting for some confirmation on that front. What jumped out to me was the running backs. Montgomery looked terrific.
Yeah.
With a very poor offensive line against a stout Rams front, over 100 yards, and his numbers 59 in the hook. As long as Andy Dalton's a quarterback, he might be your best weapon on offense. So that's a potential over there. On the other side, how about Joe Mixon? His total is 65.5. He leads the league in rushing after 1 week. Maybe that had more to do with the Vikings defense, but I thought that was pretty interesting. They're going to run the ball much more than the Rams did throughout the first three quarters. They waited until the very end there. And something else to keep in mind, big story, the big plays by the Rams, 67 and 56-yard touchdowns. You can bet on Burrow's longest completion. They set that number at 36.5. As far as Bears receivers, as long as Dalton's starting, I'm going to stay away because he threw passes to 8 different guys. 5 guys had at least 4 catches, so I'm not really sure if he's going to go to A-Rob. He had 11 targets but only 6 catches. I don't know if he's going to go to A-Rob as much as Trubisky did.
Joe, we got to ask you a college football question because Notre Dame struggles with Toledo. What does that do to the line against Purdue?
Okay, so it is a touchdown. 2 weeks ago, going into the year, Notre Dame was favored by 10. They haven't lost a game, but there's reaction in the betting market. Obviously, people not impressed with this Notre Dame defense. Certainly understand why. A couple of field goal wins against Florida State and Toledo. David, did you think that you'd be saying, oh, Toledo scored too soon? They had their chance, but they scored too soon.
They did.
Notre Dame.
Yeah. Who knew?
That's exactly what happened. Notre Dame defense, 89th in the country yards per game, 89th in the country yards per play. And it's 2 weeks, but Jack Plummer looks really good. So you might want to look at Purdue and possibly the over, expecting some points here.
Great stuff, Joe. Thanks a ton. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
Again, PointsBet brings us Joe Ostrowski. Appreciate that. And we're going to bring in Ozzy next. We'll talk some White Sox with Ozzy Guillen. And we could talk some Angels. He talked to Joe Madden yesterday. We'll get Ozzy's thoughts next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.